We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, happy Easter, and we're hoping you're having a great weekend this weekend and that Jesus Christ is Lord and you'll lift Him up. Man, this is a time when more people go to church than any other time of the year. And I know people kind of make fun of people. Well, they go on Easter and Christmas. Well, I'm glad they go on Easter and Christmas, and I do want more, but I am glad that Easter still has that strength to draw people unto the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to be with you as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Alex, I got one thing to say. The resurrection changed everything.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Bert, it's great to be with you and great to talk about this most glorious subject. One of my favorite subjects is the resurrection of Christ. That, yes, there is an empty tomb. And if you ever go to Jerusalem, you can see the words, "He is not here, He is risen, as He said." Bert, our Lord has a 100% track record of keeping His promises. And Easter is, I'll put it this way. Jesus, because He rose, He is our foundation for hope and a future, isn't He?
He really is. And that hope is so real. In our day, when there's a lot of hopelessness, in Christ Jesus, He gives hope. And I know we refer to this quite a bit over in 1 Corinthians 13, known as the love chapter, and it is. It's awesome. And it says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. Right in the middle of faith and love is what? Hope. And Our hope is in a good position. It stands on those pillars of faith and love in Christ Jesus. And it's not a hope so, it is a know so hope, that I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that is the whole thrust of Easter. And on this weekend, we just praise God for all that He has done, is doing. And Alex, you also said Jesus is a foundation of our hope and future. Not Amen. Only what He has done, is doing, but what He's going to do one day.
Amen. Amen. Well, and let me say with Easter, you know, I really think Easter and Christmas, these are kind of the two annual opportunities the church has to really share the life-changing message of salvation. It is true, a lot of folks come to church at Easter that maybe they don't come to church otherwise. So let me just encourage Christians and certainly pastors to, you know, make it clear how we can know Jesus. And this is, Bert, they call it the good news, the gospel, and it is good news. It's great news because people need hope. And when I say hope, and I know you would agree, we're not just talking about some pie in the sky wishful thinking. No, it is knowledge of true reality. And the fact that Jesus Christ, He took our sin debt, and on the cross, the guilt, the punishment for our sins, you know, theologians of old would speak of God's just displeasure. But yes, the punishment for sin that I deserved, all of it was put on Jesus. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. We have a home in heaven. If you're a born-again believer, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But Bert, I want to tell you, my knowledge of Jesus and my relationship with Christ Jesus, that is my everyday joy. It's not just heaven at some future distant point. No, it's reality right now, this day, And every day, isn't it?
Are you talking about a friend that stays closer than a brother? I think, you know, that's who he is. He is our friend. And that makes all the difference in the world. He can be your best friend. He's the friend that will not leave you. He'll not forsake you. He's there in the good times and the difficult times. And that is the Lord Jesus. I came that you might have life and that you have it abundantly. Well, Alex, that life is bound up in Christ. And he said, I got to go away. He said, and when I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter. And he's going to be with you, in you. And you're going to do even greater things. And so, Alex, this is the life that believers can live in Christ Jesus. It's a life filled with real hope, not a, as you said, not a nebulous hope, not something that, you know, may happen. And it's not just pie in the sky by and by. It is that. Hey, we've got a future, and it is in heaven. But eternal life is not talking about what happens when we die. But eternal life is not just a quantity. It is a quality. And that quality is bound up in Christ Jesus. And like Philippians 3:10 says, we have this hope because of the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection brings this hope. He overcame our greatest enemy, sin and death. And so he reigns.
Amen.
And he's on the throne, isn't he?
He is on the throne. He is on the throne. You know, Bert, talking about the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, it kind of takes me back. And if you'll indulge me, I got to share something. When I was growing up, Mom and Dad had this record player. And we didn't have many records, but my sister and I had this one record. We would play it over and over. And I'm old enough that I remember they were called 45s. It was not a big LP, but a little record. Now, do you remember those?
I do remember them, yes.
All right. Well, we had this, we only had like one 45, but my sister and I would play it over and over, and it was Tennessee Ernie Ford. And it was this little record, but it had four songs. There were two on each side. Now, one was called In the Garden, and one was called When They Ring Those Golden Bells. And one was called The Old Rugged Cross. But my favorite song, and I was a little kid, I played it endlessly, was Tennessee Ernie Ford singing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And Bert, it would be many, many years before I really actually understood this and personally experienced it. But I was a little bitty kid, and for some reason, I just loved that song. And I didn't even understand the words, but Caroline and I would play this little record over and over. And, you know, it said, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And you know, years later, I wanted to learn that song on the guitar. It's in the key of F, which is like a very hard key to play something in on guitar. But I strove till I learned that thing and played it in church a bunch of times. But, you know, that song made a huge impression on me as a little bitty kid. And I learned, and I hope everybody hearing this knows, Jesus is that closest of all friends. You know, the song says, the scripture says, and it is true, he is that faithful friend. He shares and alleviates all of our sorrows. When we're weak, he makes us strong. And Easter is a reminder, folks, this is reality. I say this, the tomb was left empty so that our life could be made full. And I hope Jesus is your closest of all friends. He is, as we often say, he's as close by as a prayer. And I love Easter. Bert, I love Christmas, the birth of Christ. But I love Easter too, the resurrection of Christ. Because, see, this is the proof of it all. I mean, Jesus taught, he did the miracles, he fed the 5,000. We know all this. But here's the thing. The fact that Jesus could do what nobody else could do with his own power, he conquered the grave. The unbeatable foe, death, the grave, sin, judgment. Jesus was victorious over it all. And the Bible makes this promise. When we put our faith in Jesus, we also, in Jesus, are victorious over death and the grave.
Amen, brother. You were talking about that Christmas and Easter. And listen, it's I remember this. They reading about this. Someone asked Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of our greatest preachers who've ever lived, to be honest, if you can get a hold of his sermons and read them, you'll see. They was asking, what's more important, prayer or Bible study? And he looked and he said, you know, what's more important, breathing in or breathing out? You need both. And I would say Christmas and Easter is that way, the incarnation and the resurrection. Listen, you would not have one. The other one would be meaningless. The incarnation would be meaningless if it were not for the resurrection. The resurrection would have never happened if it had not been for the incarnation. So here on this Easter weekend, we are celebrating on this Good Friday, the when he went to the cross and became sin for us, the perfect sacrifice. Before, the sacrifice had to have no spot and no blemish, but they were not the perfect sacrifice. They would have to do it over and over again. Each year they'd have to offer that sacrifice and to cover their sins. It's called atonement, covering. But when Jesus comes into our lives, he doesn't cover our sin, he washes them away. And he takes care of our sin. He removes them as far as the east is from the west and never holds them against us again. Now, he may remind us of them so that we won't repeat the dumb mistakes that we're prone to do. You remember that old song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the one I love? The Bible calls us sheep. That's not a compliment. Just let me share that with you.
That's true.
they're wandering. They're defenseless, and so we're that wandering sheep that the good shepherd goes and brings us back into the fold. I praise God for Jesus Christ being that good shepherd, and that goes back to our theme. That gives us hope. He is the good shepherd, Alex, and he is the one that goes with us and carries us through those hard times. I'm reminded of that dream the guy had that he was walking on the beach, and it was representing his life. And at the most difficult times of his life, there was only one set of footprints. And he was asking God, why did you leave me during these hard times? And the Lord says to him, son, you don't understand. That's not your footprints. Those are mine. That's when I was carrying you. And Alex,
amen.
He's a friend that carries us through the most difficult things that we'd ever go through. Hallelujah. What a Savior.
Praise God. Well said. Well said. Well, you know, I want to talk about some things that are unique about this gospel message. And let me read a little bit from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because, you know, just as like 1 Corinthians 13 is well known as the resurrection chapter, well, 1 Corinthians 15 is well known because Paul really defends the resurrection. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says this, "If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there be no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and also your faith is vain. And we are found false witnesses of God, because we testified that God did raise him up. But if Christ did not rise, the dead don't rise either," Paul writes. And I love all this. He goes on and on in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 15. He says, if Christ isn't risen, and if in this life only we have hope, then we of all men are most miserable. And that's true. Verse 20, but Christ now is risen.
Hallelujah.
Present tense verb, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. And we pray you know him as Savior and Lord. He changes lives. He can change your life this very day. Listen more. We want to talk more about the hope that is in Christ Jesus.
According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding, and Preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they are trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget. as they rescue over 200 babies every day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears the heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. Please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies. So be generous. You'll never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
As we go, let us make disciples. As we go,
you know, hope is so important, and we're living in a time when so many people seems to be hopeless. And it comes in all ages. I've been at the people who were elderly. They were in nursing homes. They were in their home and just not doing what they were able to do. They would talk about what they used to be able to do, but now they're unable to. And young people who feel like, where's the world going to? It's beyond our thoughts. But I want to tell you, if your hope is in this world, it will fail you. But Alex and I are talking about a different kind of a hope that is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Alex, when we say our hope is in Christ Jesus, that makes it secure, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I was on the road speaking, and somebody said, you surely do seem optimistic. And I said, well, you know, I'm not an optimist. I'm a realist. And the real truth is that Jesus Christ is coming back. Jesus Christ rose, and we have the absolute assurance that in Christ our sins are forgiven. If you've put your faith in Jesus, the Bible says that you have everlasting life. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I love all these scriptures like Hebrews 13:5, where the Lord Jesus said he would never leave me or forsake me. And Bert, I think part of the reason it's important to talk about this is I was just reading a study just yesterday. The Center for Disease Control, the CDC, they were writing about how depression is very bad for your health, right? And teenagers, they were saying that 57% of teenagers feel stress, depression, and hopelessness. And Bert, it's interesting because, you know, there was a day when sometimes youth would be reprimanded for being too optimistic. And now it's like many of our youth, almost 6 out of 10, have a debilitating pessimism. And let me say this, you know, humans just, hopelessness is tragic. Now I know I'm not blind to the fact we've got a lot of challenges in this world. But there's nothing faced by humans or America itself that can't be solved when you turn to the Lord. And to everybody listening to this, Bert, oh my goodness, Jesus Christ not only solves the biggest challenge of all, sin and separation from God, you put your faith in Christ, you are right with God. And it's amazing how the rest of life, When you get right with the Lord, the rest of life will fall into place. You can be at peace with others. Bert, I'll tell you one thing that's beautiful about the risen Jesus. You can be at peace with yourself. Isn't that something?
That is amazing when you think about that, that we can have this peace that passes all understanding, and it comes through a relationship. Now, here's what people are doing, Alex, and you know it as well. People are looking for real relationships, and a lot of times they try to find it in one thing, in an immoral way. some trying to find a relationship in the bottom of a bottle, as we'd say, you know, trying to find it in a joint, trying to find it by sniffing a substance up their nose. They're trying to find some peace that they can do it, and they're having a relationship with alcohol. They're having a relationship with illicit drugs. And here it is. It's in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone. He is not only our Redeemer, if the possibility of being your Redeemer, He is your Creator regardless. Now, that is true. God has made us. He's the one that made us, the design that we have with two eyes and the nose that comes between them, with the nose turned down and not upward. And I know that's, you know, my sense of humor, but, you know, wouldn't it be bad if He had made us with our nose turned upward, so when it rained, it'd be bad? Now, I know that's grotesque, but listen, I say that because I want you to know you are designed from God. Those of you who are listening, your design is by God. And you say, well, I don't like it. Listen, I use this quite a few times, but I just like it. Our oldest son, Nathan, loves Star Wars. And one of the most grotesque things about Star Wars was the creatures that they imagined and what they would look like. They'd go into some, quote, saloon or some bar, and there'd be people there. They'd three eyes, an eye on top of their head, their noses on either side, you know?
Yeah.
If it were left up to chance, that's what you would look like. That's what you would be. But because of God's design, we have symmetrical. We are made well. But after that, Alex, is the redemptive nature of God. He wants to redeem us. And people are trying to satisfy the outward part of man by trying all kinds of things. And it does not work from the outside inside. How God made us is to work from the inside out. When our heart is changed, our direction is changed. When our heart and our mind are saturated with the Word of God, then our thoughts will be that of purity and that of good. And so people are trying to correct the outside without even changing the inside. That's the reason transgenderism will never, ever be right and never work in your life. And so this is the whole idea, Alex. God has made us. He's made us in creation, but He can save us in redemption and become that friend that you and I have been talking about in this program that stays closer than a brother, that we can depend on. He's there through thick or thin. And again, I know I've said it. I'm going to say it one more time. Hallelujah. What a Savior.
Amen. You know, we've said this, and over the years, you and I working together, and I think I really think the Lord has given us some thoughts that we've said a lot of times. We've said this: what's internal is eternal.
Yeah.
You know, the real you. A lot of people, they try to change things on the outside, but I want to say this. Bert Harper has said it well, folks. You are not going to have peace in your soul through alcohol or drugs or illicit behavior or immorality or any of those dead end streets, those avenues that the world, the flesh, and the devil would lure you down, because the inside of you, that storm, that turbulence that's inside of you, and you're wondering, where is peace? Well, the Bible says in John 14, this is just so beautiful, Jesus said, peace I'll give to you, not as the world gives, but the peace that passes all understanding. It's only in the one that the Bible calls the Prince of Peace. Now, here's the thing. Let me just say this. There was a movie some months ago, a Barbie movie. Bert, I haven't seen it. I didn't see the Barbie movie. But I did take note of the song. It won an Academy Award for Best Song of the Year, a pop singer, Billie Eilish. And I don't know anything much about this person. But the song was titled, What Was I Made For? And Bert, I listened to the lyrics many times. It's actually, I think, a quite beautiful song. But it says, I used to know, but now I'm not sure. What was I made for? And it goes on, it says, I don't know how to feel, but I want to try. Someday I might know, what was I made for? Bert, the resurrection of Christ says, and I wish we had a megaphone to tell the entire human race, folks, you were made to know the Lord Jesus. That's what you were made for. That's why no matter what you quest after, you come away feeling empty or less than satisfied. Because just like the song was asking, Bert, I think millions of people are asking, what is my life all about? Well, it's in Jesus. There was an old hymn, My Hope Has Found a Resting Place. Do you remember that song, Bert?
I do. Yes, it's an old one, but it's a good one.
Maybe today there's somebody listening, and look, the search is over. You'll come to Jesus, and you will know, I promise you, you will know this was what my heart was longing for, because Jesus loves you. He'll forgive you. Your life will begin to make sense. You're going to have assurance. Come what may, see whatever tomorrow throws at you, whether it be life or death, you're ready. Because you're in the one who is King of Kings and the Lord of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bert, the gospel is called good news, and indeed it is, isn't it?
It really is good news. As you were talking, I wrote down three words that you really hit on, and it is, once you know Jesus Christ, you have a real purpose. You really do a purpose for living. A purpose for your life. That those of you that may be downhearted right now, God has a purpose for you. And in that, you can have peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Now, we're not talking about the peace that people find in a cemetery. We're not talking a peace that's absent of conflict. It's peace in the midst of the conflicts. Because I just want to tell you, in this world, you're going to have conflicts. You're going to be conflicted on many ways. What bills to pay? Where do I go? I remember marrying a couple, and both of their parents had divorced, and they had remarried, and they had been going, each one of them, each Christmas, they'd been going to four different places at Christmas to be with their parents and their grandparents and the, you know, the adopted, quote, grandparents. And he said, how can we make eight? They were so conflicted. We're not going to be able to do this. And I was trying to help them during this to bring the process to knowing what they could do and not what others wanted them to do. But he can give peace in the midst of the conflict, and he brings hope to our lives. Hope not only for the future, as we've said in this, but hope for right now that he can guide us. Listen, the Bible makes it plain in Proverbs that he will direct our paths. Alex, if I understand what a path is usually a narrow area going through obstacles. It can be through rocks, it can be through trees, but it's a path, and he can direct us in those paths every once in a while. And, you know, I'm not a big hiker, but there's some paths over here in northeast Mississippi that I take ever so often at one of the state parks here, and you come to a fork. And when I first went over that path, I didn't know exactly which one to take because the signs were down. But now that I've gone through that path, I can trust it. I know which path to take to go where I want to go. Well, God will direct your paths to let you know which direction to go when there's conflict, when there's difficulty. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior today, those of you who are listening, you're missing out on a great, great adventure that only Christ can direct you. He is the one that can go with you through these difficult, tight places, through those places where you're barely on the edge of a cliff, and he can guide you around that mountain path that is so difficult and hard. Now, I'm trying to build a picture, Alex, but that is life, you know? Life is not real smooth highway, is it?
No, not always. I mean, and let me be clear. Being a born-again Christian is not the absence of all the problems. In fact, Bert, you know, sometimes if you really get serious about following the Lord, sometimes that's where life does get a little bit complicated, actually. And I've said this, and not trying to be like a cliche, but coming to Jesus is not the subtraction of all of life's problems, but it is the addition of Christ's presence and his help and his wisdom through all of life's challenges. But let me just say this. At this time in history, when many people feel that they are just out of options, let's revisit what this gospel is here at Easter. For one thing, the Christian worldview, what the Bible says, not the opinion of man, but the Word of God, it's a unique presentation of the truth about God. And let me say this, and I think people need to hear it. God is not distant or uninterested in your life. No, God profoundly cares about your life. God cares. God is not unreachable, just like some faraway absentee creator. No, Bert, God, if you will turn to Jesus, God is the most present relationship in your life. The Lord Jesus is the most real reality in every hour of every day, really. And Bert, don't you find like prayer and all day long, feeling the presence of God, being directed by God, communion with God, you know, prayer. I mean, it's like breathing all day long. I mean, it's like if you're awake and conscious, the Lord Jesus is with you. Would you agree?
I agree fully. God is, and you can know him. Now, that's the secret. Listen, God exists. God is real. God's not a figment of imagination. He's not myth. He is a person. He is a knowing person. He's a caring person, not distant, as you said. And we can know him. Alex, that's because of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he's done, where he is right now. We can have this relationship with God through Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone. So that's what Alex and I are talking about, the gospel. It really means good news, and it is good news. And I heard about a young man, he had a speech impediment and people was mocking him, but when he found out that God cared for him, even with his difficulties that he had in life, those things that were not pleasant for him or for others, he found out good news. And when he did it, he went through the Bible camp saying, good news, good news. Alex and I are sharing today on this radio broadcast, as loud as we can be, as clear as we can be, there is good news in Christ Jesus. We pray that you know him as Lord and Savior, as he gives you hope.
Last year, because of you, Preborn's network of clinics saw over 58,000 babies saved. Thank you to all who made this possible. Let's celebrate these precious babies.
Now, back to the Bible study. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
It's about the cross.
When you have seen him, you have seen the Father. So when you find out who God is, automatically you know Jesus is that way as well. I and my Father are one. So those people who want to talk about God, but they want to leave Jesus on a shelf or less than, and that's been around a long time, Alex. Gnosticism, emanations from God, and Jesus was less than. Jesus is not less than. According to John chapter 1, let me see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. And in verse 14 of that chapter, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Listen, when you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. So, Alex, when we was talking about God cares, God's not distant, but he's close as a prayer. He's able to reach him. God is, and you can know him. Is that the same thing about Jesus?
Amen. Absolutely. You know, we mentioned that the Christian message really is a unique and factual presentation of who God is. It's a unique presentation of who Jesus is. Jesus is not a myth, but he is real, he's actual, he's historical. He's not just a good role model or a, quote, you know, good moral person. No, he's God incarnate. And let me say this. It wasn't that Jesus was just an example trying to show the human race how they ought to live. I've had people say that you know, Jesus was showing us a better way. Look, I know we should love our neighbor. We should be kind. We should, you know, be loving and helpful. But no, Jesus was God coming to pay the sin debt of the human race. He was a Messiah, the Lamb that would take away the sin of the world. And it's not just, a Christian is not somebody who's just trying to be like Jesus. No, we have put our faith, our trust in who he is and what he did. Who is he? The Son of God. What did he do? He took my sin debt to Calvary's cross. And like you mentioned Charles Spurgeon, who we love, that we know that we are set right with God and will go to heaven based on the righteousness of Christ, which becomes our righteousness by having put our faith in him. So, you know, we need to be clear, and I think Easter is a great reminder to revisit and just be very clear on who Christ is, what Christ did to prove his identity and mission, the resurrection, and then how we come into a relationship with it. Because, Bert, from a human perspective, I mean, there's people that we say, well, this was a good person. Somebody over here, we say, well, that person was not a good person. Look, the standard isn't my neighbor or who I think is good or bad. We have to come to Christ because by Jesus, we've all fallen short, you know? And so we put our faith in Jesus, and Christ's righteousness becomes ours the minute we put our trust in him. It is absolutely a unique message.
It is. And when you were talking about that, if you've ever gone to the D.C., the Tomb of the Unknowns, and watched the changing of the guard, Alex?
Yes, yes.
That is one of the most unique, picturesque, beautiful events I've ever seen. And after I was there, I started looking. I said, man, could I have been joined and be a part of that? And I found out they had to be so-and-so height. They had to be slim and trim, everything else. And I thought to myself, you know, I just don't measure up. And that would be true. I don't measure up to the qualifications that is needed to be the soldier of that walking the guard at the tombs of the unknown. When it comes for us, you and me, and everyone who is listening, trying to equip ourselves to be fit for heaven, to be fit to be called the children of God, I just want to say, Bert Harper doesn't measure up. I never would. I never will. But unlike the tomb, the tomb of the unknowns and the guards who guard that, Jesus Christ can come in and make us fit. He's the one that can take away all the shortcomings, all the things, and wash them white as snow and make us fit for heaven. That's who Jesus is. And, you know, I know I've said this before, but some things are worth repeating. I laugh at myself when I see a program saying, we're going to tell you about the historical Jesus. Like, we don't know the historical Jesus. We find the historical Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He is historical. He is not a myth. He's a real person. And as you said, not just to be a moral teacher, not just to be a guide, but he's the one that went before us, Alex. He's the one that cleared the way that if we could join him and be in him, we could be a part of the way to God the Father. And it's only through Christ. There's no other way. God doesn't have a plan B. He does not have an alternate route to get to the same place. It's only through Christ Jesus. Those words are very plain. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. Now, Alex, you majored in English. You know English. I did not. That was my most difficult subject. And now here's God using me to speak and write. God does have a sense of humor. I can just tell you that. But I did learn about the definite article. When it talks mm-hmm. about the, it's not a, it's not just any, it is the. He is the only way, isn't he?
Yes. The definite article speaks with specificity. Jesus is the way. Bert, I was just a couple of weeks ago in the Cincinnati airport. It was my privilege to go up there and preach. And I don't know if I told you this, but I was coming home on a Sunday night. We'd been there for 3 days. And anyway, I go to the airport and I'm checking in, as we all do. And I wasn't eavesdropping, but to my right, the gentleman at the next counter was talking with the lady, the check-in person, and my heart went out to him. Because think about this, and she says, you know, can I see your ID? And he gives his ID, and I overheard the lady say, she said, sir, your name is not on this list. And just almost with increasing panic, I heard the guy, he said, but I thought I made the reservation. And she said, well, sir, you're not on my manifest. And I guess that's the list of the passengers. And she said, sir, the plane is about to leave, and I am so sorry, but you're just not on the list. And the guy was, by now he is in full-blown, you know, kind of panic. And I thought about this, though. See, here's the thing. I mean, missing a flight, that's bad enough. And I felt sorry for him. And as I checked in, I looked, and I said, hey, man, I hope things work out for you. But imagine, folks, just imagine someday standing before God, and I mean, maybe you were a good person, that's great. Maybe you were even a church member, that's great. But you want to make sure your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heaven forbid, Matthew 7:24, where the Lord has to look at you and say, I'm sorry, I never knew you. Look, so today I want to ask you, is your name on the list? And the way your name gets on the list of the saved, the redeemed, born again, Christian, saved, what you, the Bible uses many words. You admit that you're a sinner. Lord, I admit I have sinned, and I know that my sin has separated me from you. Then you say, I do believe Jesus is the Son of God, as he said when Jesus was nailed to the cross. Lord, I believe you did that for me, and today I'm asking, please save me. I turn from sin to faith in you. The Bible calls that to repent. I'm turning from my sin. Lord, I'm putting my trust in you. Dear Jesus, please wash my sin away and save me now. And Bert, the Bible promises, as you know, and you and Jan have given your life to spreading this message, and Angie and I have too, but the Bible says, if we will call on the name of the Lord, we will be saved. Folks, do not leave this world without making sure that you have Christ in your heart. And Bert, I know on Easter weekend, many churches will probably sing that great hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. And, you know, it says this, one of those verses, it's awesome. It says, lives again our glorious King, where, O death, is now thy sting. Once he died, our souls to save, where's the victory, the boasting grave? Christ the Lord is risen today. That's life. Nothing else matters other than having Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And to paraphrase the airport story, to make sure that your name is on the list.
That's exactly right. And when we know him, and he is Lord of all, that is, you're on his list. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll not turn away from you. Once you've come to Christ, on this Easter weekend, as Alex and I have been sharing, we desire for you to know him. Alex, believe it or not, I was born on Easter Sunday morning.
And really?
Yes, I was. I was there and born on Easter Sunday. Now, that was in 1952. That's a long time ago. And I've never had my birthday on Easter Sunday. Never. because how really? Easter is. That's right. I never have. I will one day if I keep on living a little longer. There's a day coming up when it'll be wow. on my birthday. Looking forward to it if the Lord doesn't come back. But as I was born on Easter Sunday, would it not be great for some people to be born again on Easter weekend? Good Friday, the Saturday, lay low in the grave he lay. But on Sunday morning, bursting forth, listen, the rock was not rolled away to let Jesus out. The rock was rolled away to let the disciples in. You remember when Peter and John got there? John got there first, and he stood, and he observed everything. When Peter came in, he just burst in wide open, you know. He's not here. He is risen. The Lord Jesus Christ is risen today. This is what Easter's all about. You've heard and heard about it. It is real. It's not a make-believe story. As Alex said earlier, it's not a myth. It is the reality of who Jesus Christ is, overcoming sin and death. And listen, he's paved the way so that we could join him. How do we join him? By trusting in him, by knowing that we're lost. We cannot save ourselves. There's not enough money. There's not enough times to be baptized. There's not enough churches to join. There's not enough sermons to listen to. It's only through Christ when we put our faith in him, when we turn away from our way and turn to him. That's called repentance in the Bible, but it means turning and agreeing with him. And Alex, praying and asking, Lord, I am a sinner. I'm lost. There's nothing that I can do in order to save my soul. But today, knowing who you are, knowing what you did by paying the price on Calvary, overcoming sin and death at the resurrection, I ask you to be Lord of my life now and forever. It's not to just fix me for a few minutes, but it's a life change where we go after him and follow him. Alex, you did that at 21. If I remember right, I did it as a 12-year-old boy. There hasn't been a moment in my life when I've regretted that decision to follow Christ.
Amen. You know, let me read something out of Acts chapter 1 at verse 9. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he said to the apostles, you know, you're going to receive power, you're witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea. But it goes on, it says, and while Jesus told them these things, he was taken up, and behold, a cloud received him out of their sight. That's called the ascension. Christ ascended to heaven, right? But it says two angels stood by, and they said, Acts 1:11, you men of Galilee, why are you gazing up into the heavens standing here? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will return and come again in like manner as you have seen him go. And they returned unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, and they rejoiced, and the church was born. And here we are. Okay, this message in the 21st century, the same Jesus, yes, the one who rose from the dead, the one who is calling out to you right now. Bert, he is coming again, and Easter, I think, is a worthwhile time to say. And I got this question this week. Somebody asked me this very week, do you really believe Jesus is coming back? Absolutely. He's coming back. Be ready. Help others get ready. Easter is a time to renew commitments. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're grateful for our salvation. Lord, we are committed to live for you. Lord, it's a joy to represent you and help others know you. Bert, that empty tomb, that reality of our risen Savior, he's coming again. He's with us every step of the journey. What a life. I had an atheist once ask me, why would you want to be a Christian? I said, why would you not want to be a Christian? Yeah, I mean, really.
Amen.
Honestly.
Listen, we get more than we could ever dream or imagine. That's what the Bible says, that he is beyond our greatest knowledge of thinking or desiring. He is the Lord of all. And on this Easter weekend, we're praying that those of you who are listening will just examine yourself to make sure there's been a time in your life where Jesus Christ has become Lord of your life. Alex, we're also asking people to go to church this Sunday. Celebrate the resurrection. Absolutely. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. And we're also praying for pastors that they would preach Jesus is alive and you can know him. That's good news, isn't it?
It is good news. And everybody, thanks for listening. Yes, as Bert said, be in church. And one day, we will see you in our Father's kingdom. It's a great reality, isn't it?
It is. Thank you. And we pray that you would have a great Easter weekend. And may Jesus Christ reign in your life.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio, a ministry of the American Family Association.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.